And slowly this is appearing in the desktop. Slowly what we're beginning to see is an increase. So Abbey Collab, which is actually pretty cool. There's an Inkscape collaboration, which seems to require a separate connection to your XMPP server, and seems to require SSL, so I've not actually managed to get it running. But this is the sort of thing. And then, can you start collaborating high-level objects? Can I cut and paste? If I'm working on a spreadsheet and someone else is working on a document, can I cut and paste, like, so select my spreadsheet, cut it, take a clipboard object somehow, like Martin was saying with the frame thing, drag it over, give it to that person, it pops up on their clipboard when they accept it, and can they paste it into their documents? So that's kind of, I don't know, I just kind of wanted to try and put some ideas in people's heads and see if they wanted to then start talking about what kinds of ideas can we get for collaboration in the future. Yeah, Gus. Oh, you've got me.
Yeah,
So Gobi is an excellent example. I reinstalled my laptop about 2 months ago, and it's missing almost every bit of software I need. I discovered last week, before I've gone to give my development talk tomorrow, that I had no development stack on my laptop, and I thought that could be a bit embarrassing if I turned up, went to run Make, and found I didn't actually have like build essentials. So Gobi is a good example. Have people seen Gobi? A couple of people. Gobi is a collaborative text editor. It's actually quite useful because you've got a straight format text editor. It does the uses GTK source view to do all of its markup. That's true. They've got no undo. So it can do some reasonably fancy stuff. You connect over a network, and you can all edit the document together. Where this gets really useful is you can each write your section of a document, cut and paste it into one thing, bang it into Gobi, and go through and collaboratively clean it up, fix up. I don't know how many people do large collaborative document edits, but you often end up, you can tell who wrote which bit. And I hate to sound genderist, but you can also sometimes tell which bit written by men and which bit written by women just because of the change in language, or which bit were written by native English speakers and which bit wasn't because the change in stylistic convention. Yeah, that may not be necessarily from the native English speaker. Yeah. So people used it to annotate. A couple of years ago, there was a big thing annotating the conference videos in Gobi, and people were annotating as the speech was happening. They were collaborative writing.
This might be a bit off topic. Why does Gobi want a separate app rather than a shared?
Well, so this is where I was hoping to go with this. Gobi. This is a very commonly asked question. Gobi is a separate app because of the infrastructure of the way it works. There you go. If anyone wants to join that, I don't know if the rendezvous stuff is working at the moment, because I don't know if they've reported it to Avahi. So it comes up with the same idea that you should be able to find someone and collaborate. But as John said, why is it a separate application? Why not integrate into Jira? It turns out it's very hard. I think it's what the AbbeyWord guys found, and correct me if I'm wrong, that adding Abbey Collab into AbbeyWord was quite a lot of work and is very dependent on AbbeyWord's internal data structure, isn't it? Okay, so we should. Yeah, fundamentally, the point is that AbbeyCollab is deeply tied into AbbeyWord's data structure, and I understand there's only AbbeyWord's data structure being the way it was that allowed them to write it in the first place. But so this comes to the point. So Inkscape is the same, they're adding collaboration to Inkscape. In the biggest. You know I'm going to have to go home and cry after this now. But, so, yeah, I've kind of lost my track now, sorry. You can tell I was really prepared for this. I had all of about 40 seconds to think about what I was going to say.
And it seemed possible, but you basically need a really good document model, and you have to understand how your document model works. If you live without a locking server, if you want to go without a locking server, then you basically have to come up with some fine-grained method of merging your changes into what someone else is doing while you weren't watching what they were doing. So that's the fundamental problem. I mean, you have this lag between your document changing and somebody else's document changing, if they're not actually locked out. And it's possible to work around this if you think things through and you understand how your document structure works. So that's why I was sort of skeptical about other applications being able to use AbbeyCollab, except maybe for the transport and presence infrastructure.
You know, this is actually probably more entertaining than what I'm saying. So, no, go ahead, keep going. It comes to what ideas do people have. What?
So, using a CVA and it was the CVA.
Maybe that's what it needs to be. Like, you have an implementation of, say, GTK text buffer. I'm sorry, we'll try not to get too class technical, but the data representation that feeds into the text display is a separate class. So perhaps, yes, you'd integrate it into that. You do collaboration on that level. But even then, is that useful? Because you may find that your application doesn't work that way. You've always got the problem of tying your collaboration into the right level of your logic. The other one, Gobby, is really bad at working over firewalled networks. You often have to punch holes manually in your firewalls. This is the kind of thing that telepathy turns out to have a really good solution for, which I think is being talked about on Thursday. You're talking about tubes, aren't you? Kind of. Tubes is the hotness. It allows you to set up sockets encapsulated over something. I have no idea how the technology works. But you can set up a socket that you know how to deal with, and you can push data across it. So if you want to play network Tetris over firewalled, locked out, really hard to do with networks, it will actually make that. It'll actually make that happen. So the future, maybe the future here is then that all these applications do talk to telepathy and then perhaps empathy to get the to get your roster to do that. And then maybe you start seeing that integration into Evolution, where when you receive an email in Evolution, it'll come a new email from David Madeley, Green Arrow, or Green Circle rather, David Madeley's online. Then the other thing that becomes really interesting and really nice for integration is conduits, which I don't actually have running because I've not worked out what I'd run it on because I don't own anything to synchronize. I have to point out the reason I'm really excited about Conduit is because I rip off his code without prejudice and shove it into my proprietary apps. I'm just I sit there going, someone must have done this, someone, John's done it, yes. How does it work? Yeah, conduits written in pipe. Oh, that one's fantastic. Well done. Big thumbs up, whoever that is. User list. There you go. Now you can... So, and then besides that, we've got collaboration on. So you've got collaboration over the internet, which is the kind of thing we're all into. You've got collaboration within the work group, which is the kind of thing you see in your workplaces. We run our own internal Jabber server at work, because it's even when you're talking with the person who sits across from you, being able to paste things is incredibly useful. This comes back down to that thing, I'd love to be able to pick up an object on my clipboard, drag and drop it onto a person, and they could instantly have the copy of my clipboard. At the moment, I can only do that with text, because I can do it via Jabber. And maybe, hypothetically, in the future, I could do it with images or something or other. But it would be nice if you just arbitrarily select a clipboard object. If you two people are not so much pair programming, because pair programming now is, you know, almost a reasonably solved thing in the workplace. But pair document collaboration is often a big deal. You might have someone who is writing a slide deck and someone who's preparing your graphics. So you've got your Inkscaper and you've got your I don't know, Impressor. But then you need to be able to constantly push new graphics to them or new bits and pieces. You might be, like I said, the spreadsheet cut and paste. So this comes down to what other things do people think would end up in GNOME?
Or working on work stuff, which is another set of documents and stuff. So GNOME's got this GNOME session idea, and you can save your session, and it restores it and opens up a limited number of documents, and works moderately okay. And apparently that's being rewritten and replaced at the moment, which in the concept of new things are better, that hopefully will be better. But I really want to see this activity and this task thing, this whole task-oriented desktop, which people bandy about, come to something. For instance, at the moment, GNOME session, you know, it saves your session when you log out. Why can't that be integrated into the top, into the panel? You know, let's save my session, all these documents, close them, save what workspace you're on. Now we've got a decent compositing manager in Metacity. Let's take a screenshot of everything, where everything is, save everything, put it in a file, and open my other task, and open my other documents in web browser, and just make it easy for me to switch between. So I'd like to see what people's ideas are on that, because sometimes when you bring up this task-oriented desktop kind of idea, some people are resistive to it. So yeah, thoughts?
Yeah, you may have to turn that one on the actual lectern system, I don't know. You talk about task-oriented desktop, are people familiar with that term? Or is that something that only HCI geeks have ever heard of? Do you want to give a summary?
I don't even know if I'm using the proper HCI sanctioned term, but what I consider task-oriented desktop is, I in order to not be procrastinating all the time, I like to try and do one task at a time, so that's, or at least constrain it to, say, a couple of virtual desktops. So one task would be doing one project at work. It would be one scenario, and that would require this editor open these documents in this file browser to this place. Likewise, another project requires another set of things open. And even to the level of, heck, I don't want evolution to bug me. I don't want new mail notifications. I don't want anything if I'm doing this particular task. So I just think of task as a container for multiple open document type things.
Okay, excellent. I'm just going to squeeze back here. Does anyone have anything to add at this point? That one's also not working.
I guess I'd just like to go back to the point I made about Sugar being the only desktop available that actually has this presence service where you can actually see who's around you and online. And I just thought I'd be interested if people think that that would be a useful thing to generally have.
So, okay. I guess, do people first, do people think they'd get use out of that, or is that just me and Martin? Is that the kind of thing you'd love to see deeply integrated throughout your, like through every application in GNOME and KDE and, you know, XFCE and Argy Bargy Desktop Enlightenment 7? I hear the new Enlightenment Window Manager absolutely doubles Metacity's unmap rate for Windows. Apparently Metacity was somewhere slightly faster than the old KWin. I don't think anyone's benchmarked the new KWin. But if you need to map and unmap your Windows really, really fast, apparently Enlightenment's the way to go. It doesn't do anything else, but it'll map and unmap Windows really quick. Aaron.
Which is yes, and of course, mapping and unmapping Windows is what we all measure these days. As far as if it's useful, absolutely. I mean, we've already got it on the roadmap for the next two releases that we're doing, 4.1 and 4.2, to bring both task-based desktop workspaces. We have the session management already working, but actually being able to switch your entire desktop layout to, so you have the right icons on the desktop, you have the right mini applets on the desktop, you have the right contacts selected in your filtered buddy list, etc. That was, we did a lot of the framework work for that in 4.0, KD4.0. So, right. So that was something we decided to start working on about 2 years ago. And we're actually exposing the UI in 4.1 and beyond. So I think it's absolutely critical. As for the being able to see other people, I think that's maybe Sugar's greatest innovation as well. And that's also something that right now we have zooming on the desktop in 4.0. And the idea is to turn into semantic zooming, so you can zoom out from your own machine and then see other people's systems, both on the local network, and then zoom out again to see static points, which actually was something that was pioneered by Jeff Raskin. That was his whole idea, right, that eventually you should be able to zoom out from your computer and see the rest of the world. So it's cool to see it actually in play in Sugar, and yeah, it's where we're going as well. So I mean, if GNOME could also go on that route, if we can share stuff via telepathy and whatnot, that would rock hard.
I had a really good thought, but I've completely forgot what it is. Is there anyone else at this point who wants to say no? God, how long does this have to go for? We are having lunch at 12:20. Oh, great. I hate to seem like, you know, I'm somewhat having no idea what to say, but literally, Jeff came over to me and said, "You're doing this," and I was like, "Oh, thanks."
The idea of having people, like people who I know integrated with my desktop, is that kind of what you're talking about with the Sugar thing?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just Sugar. When you log into Sugar, you can start to choose your set of accounts for the XML. So, for example, it's
so that sounds like a really cool thing, particularly if I can turn off people while I'm working, right, and totally in an integrated fashion, turn off all of the people who are going to be asking me for tech support or what I want for dinner or whatever it is. That would be a cool feature.
So maybe that becomes part of the task orientation that you've spoken about, is for a particular task. Oh, I'm feeding back. For a particular task, you will end up collaborating with a certain subset of your colleagues or of your friends or of, you know. So say, at the moment, you know, I at work would have four major projects on the go, each of which involve me collaborating with a different set of my workmates. So that's the kind of thing. If you can start having tasks and you can associate colleagues with a task, can we have the presence appear, you know, based on what task you're doing? You say, I'm working on, you know, the GPX project. Show me all the contacts, and I have that saved as a list. So you're getting a filter down. Instead of seeing the thing there, we've got everyone, you know, who's online. It can show me instead a set. Because I quite like the online-offline view, but it's just got too many people in it. So you could show that and have them either light or gray, based on whether they're there or not. And then you could chat with them, or you could files. I think files and clipboards and arbitrary data transfer is the big thing, because particularly in a lot of scenarios, not so much for open source development, because we're collaborating in a distributed way, but for workplace collaboration or university collaboration or the sugar type thing where you've got school kids sat around a desk, they don't need chat. They've already got a high bandwidth chat mechanism through actually speaking. You've got to remember a lot of people who aren't us aren't very good typists. So chat isn't the thing they want. What they want is the ability to be working on some arbitrary piece of data and be able to go, right, I'm done, give that to you. Because the way I'd always write documents, you'd have one person who would be your main document integrator, and then people would work on sections that focused in their strengths. So the person whose strength would be, say, putting together like and fixing an overview and having the global picture becomes your document integrator. And someone who knows something about device physics in cadmium arsenide semiconductors, whatever, will be writing section A, and someone who knows about quality assurance and testing of like molecular beam epitaxy construction will be writing section B, whatever. But you've got to get that into a nice cohesive document that reads well. And as well as people just, the way this traditionally happens is everyone goes away, goes back to their desk, madly bangs out some text in whatever program they're using, guaranteed it wasn't the same one you were using, because a university always has 17 versions of Word on the network, and at least two guys who are using OpenOffice, and then some asshole who's using AbbeyWord. So I actually use AbbeyWord. I'm that guy, and I break everyone's formatting when, like... I'm all the guy who wrote it in tech. I'm also that guy. And you have to now get all these things. People either email or bring a USB key or whatever, whatever they've currently decided is their current connection du jour. And they'll send you a document, and now you've got the problem of you have to get that into your space, and then you have to be able to reintegrate that. Again, when they realize they've made a huge, giant mistake, and thing, they have to reintegrate that. Or, as it apparently often happens in the university context, when it turns out the guy you trusted to write it's been cutting and pasting Intel brochures into a text document, and you realize that maybe that section needs to be rewritten. So you need to have that kind of ability. We can say, this came from here. And now belongs to that person, and that person can now provide me with a mechanism to send me updates.
One thing is for the online offline data, do we have
That's an interesting question. I don't know if that's necessarily a telepathy question, but more, say, an empathy question, where empathy is the actual set of UI components to provide that, like those little icons. And I've not actually... I see what you're getting at, sure. I mean, that's the kind of thing where surely you'd end up with a click-and-drag style interface. You'd pick people up out of your roster or out of something and select a group and drag them into a task, perhaps. I've not thought about it more than about 10 minutes we've had this chat yet.
Thank you.
So one of the hot things in sugar, and when I first saw this, I just went, that's so awesome. Although I don't really get what their underlying implementation to make it work is outside of the way the meshing works in sugar, is that view of the clustering. If you can show people clustered around, like, you kind of, in a way, want a physical object that they're clustered around. Like, you might see a cluster that's, perhaps, say, by functional department in an office, or by floor, or by some arbitrary task work group, something you can share, so that then you can easily, without having to select your own subset, if all you're interested in is people in your local space, that clustering was somehow inferred, and now you can just say, show me my local space, like show me the device physics laboratory or something, because those are the people. That might only be 15 people, which is a reasonably small subset, and that thing, that could be a bar down the side. This brings back to the point I had forgotten I was going to bring. Have people seen Gimme, which I currently don't have built? So Gimme is a replacement for the for the GNOME panel. It's a rethinking, and I don't even know the web address for it, so let's just try Googling for it. It's being written by Alex Gravely, that's the name, thank you. Actually, I could think of his IRC nickname without the real thing. Okay. So Gimme is kind of an attempt to rethink some of these ideas. In fact, you know, let's take a screenshot, so that'll probably be better for us. So it starts dealing with people you might like to have conversations with and files you might like to interact with, rather than what applications you've got running. And so, can I click on that? Will it be bigger? There you go. So this is one of these attempts to rethink it as a replacement for the GNOME panel. So you can see you've got applications that you commonly run. These are applications that aren't document-centric. So you can see here you've got Terminal, and there you also have things like XChat and the Package Manager. And I think what happens is the ones that are actually running light up. I've not actually used this in a while. But they're, you know, applications that are non-document-centric. And then you've got actual documents. And then you stop caring about applications. All you care about is the document, and you say, I want to edit this file, and it's an Abbey Word file, so it loads in Abbey Word. You don't need to know that it's Abbey Word. You don't need to know that it's, numeric. You don't need to know that it's OpenOffice Impress. It just does it. And you think about things in terms of documents. And then you've got people, which you can see it's showed you three people there. I can't remember the metric for how it shows you people or not. Because last time I tried it, didn't work. I don't know if it's been ported to Telepathy yet, or if they're still using their own stuff. Okay, so that's still using, what was LibGame, which is now probably LibPigeon or LibBird, I don't know. But so this is perhaps one sort of thought about how that could work, done by Alex Gravely. And that's the sort of thing where the idea is you can then drag something onto a person and send them a file. Yeah, sure. It's obviously it's evolutionary, not revolutionary, which I think to some extent has to be the way you go about these things. I think if you said, right, as of tomorrow we're going to start building this brand new collaborative desktop, I think it would just stand around and go, oh, okay. Whereas if you try to evolve from what you have now to this beautiful future where you can select a group of people and go invite them to collaborate with me on these documents, or make them part of my thing so we can all share our clipboards. And then even being able to, because obviously sharing your clipboard can be, what I'm trying to get with that, say you've got a couple of applications open, you've got your email, it's always open, you've got, you know, say a web browser, it's always open, and then you've got the actual things that are relating to the job you're doing. That might be an interface to a database application. It might be a web, it might be a web browser, it might be a word processor. And you need to perhaps create the idea between them public and private. You can say, I want everyone to be able to access my clipboard objects for my work task, but not for some other work task, because that could be confidential to a certain subset of the company. Say you're working on payroll take information, that's not going to be generally available throughout company databases, but you might need to be working with someone else. Say you work in HR, you might need to be working with one or two other people on, say, pay reviews or something. But then you might be working with someone else on, say, job, like writing up job adverts. So you're interacting with someone from another department, and you don't want them to be able to get access to your pay review information. And you also don't want them to be able to, like, get access to your email. So perhaps you need to then add a security infrastructure into this as well. Yep.
Just from that perspective, I don't think that's to basically expose you a whole list of computers. You really want to be able to transfer spaces. So I think the sort of vision of making things available via that sugar flag, or the sugar flag. And having a two-dimensional view for the API, dropping off the API, rather than say, here's my clipboard available.
So I actually agree with you. I was just, because I don't really have a point for this whole talk, I was kind of just thinking of ideas on the fly. That was a bit of a stream of consciousness. But I agree with you. I think you'd have clipboard objects and you would mark, either drag those onto a group or mark them as available to a group. Some sort of UI like that. You kind of want to avoid losing too much screen real estate to collaboration UIs. That's always a risk.
The other thing about all of this that's true that very well, it would be difficult to do is integrating the data. So
Exactly. So there was a thing that appeared quite a while ago, pre-telepathy, and then spent a little time nothing happening, and now it's revitalized, called Project Soylent, because Soylent Green is people, that is designed to provide a way to access some of this presence information. I have to admit, I was a little bit confused about where telepathy, empathy, and Soylent crossed over, because Soylent uses telepathy. So I'm not quite sure what the thing. I think Soylent becomes a dbus interface to discover simple presence information that you can then provide to applications. So in your email, you can have, you know, you can receive email that can tell you they're online, and then, you know, perhaps that's a very simple case. I mean, Microsoft had that. It must have been 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, in one of the email programs where if you connect to MSN Messenger, it would show you people who are online or not. I don't even know if they still do it. I've not really used a Microsoft email product in a long time. But that's a very simple case for that. And then when you're in, say, fire up your collaborative word processing documents, you can have a thing, like, there'll be a list of people you've collaborated with this on. Say it was me, it was Martin, and, you know, it was John here, and we'd all been collaborating this document. Martin fires it up, and perhaps then in the sidebar it'll come up, it'll show little faces or little avatars for me and John, and John might be at work, you know, so here's his light. I might be taking a sick day, I might be off with the flu, so mine will be grayed out, and then he instantly can see who he's previously worked on this document with and who's available. So that all becomes, you have some sort of context-sensitive sidebar throughout the desktop. I loathe to use the term a dashboard because we've tried so many times to create a dashboard-type UI. And like a dashboard style sidebar is what he means. Like context information relating to your app or contact document, something like that.
So, yeah, it's not so much in play with this. Everything on the table, you have a lot of issues where the way you do it, big aspects of
I agree. I think it's critical. I think that's why telepathy is such a better solution to, well, like this as a problem than anything came before, because you've now broken, your actual concept of the instant messaging and the connections into an abstract IPC-able system, and then your UI just becomes a view on that. And so empathy is literally just, it's not a chat program, it's a telepathy viewer. The reason empathy has to exist, because it turns out this entire class of people who really, really like chat rosters, I often, when I want to have a conversation with someone, I know exactly who it is. The only thing I care about is if that person's online or not. So I can just type in their name. I'll get there and go, oh, I need to talk to Carl Worth. so I could just go, and so at the moment I go to IRC and type /names and I scan down through all the names. But if the world is a little bit easier and I had some kind of view, I could just pull up my list of, like, either my task list of the world, some kind of thing, and just go Carl Worth, and I go offline, and I go, okay, I'll send it. And then from that point I go, right, send him an email, or leave him a message on his, Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook, so I have no idea how this stuff works. But so then your chat roster just becomes another view to that. It's the show me everyone view. Because it does turn out there's a lot of teenagers and, you know, young people who just scroll down through their list of, like, everyone in the world that they've ever met. I go, I'll chat to that person. Or as the use case goes, it's so you can scroll down and find out who you're going to have sex with. So, yeah, I think people had agreed. I put this screenshot up before. This is the Gimme people browser. It's a little bit two-dimensional. I think you've always got the problem with people browsers that a lot of people fail to appreciate is that people choose really crappy avatars. If everyone had a really great hackagotchi and it was really clear, I mean, mine looks nothing like me, for crying out loud. But if people had a good, you could just have a view of faces, and you could try and do some kind of fancy layout heuristic. There are people who write entire PhDs in how to lay out this kind of information. So the first thing you do is create your representation, and the second thing you do is you create Adolf Hitler. Everyone's we that I've ever interacted with has a man with a little tiny like toothbrush mustache and a short haircut and angry giant eyebrows with a name like Adolf or A or, you know, Kitty or... and so at first I thought it was just my brother because, you know, he's 17 and thus thinks like that. But no, it turns out that, you know, people I would consider to be, you know, quite sensible. And I'm sure they like to pretend that it migrated from someone else's thing over that wee avatar migration, what's it? But no, the truth is they sat there one day going, oh, this is so funny. As if no one's ever done it before. But so you can kind of create a view, and you can see this one's got a search. So you can start trying to search, I don't know. Yeah, it's the kind of thing I think you're talking about. You can select a group of people. If they were in cancer, you could lasso them. I don't know. That's all just HCI craft. Yeah, do people have any more thoughts? Does anyone instantly right now go, yes, I'm going to write this? Come on, someone. You sure? It's you write in Python. That'd be okay. Python has, like, dbus bindings, and thus I assume it's very easy to talk telepathy from Python. He's nodding, yeah, yeah.
You sound like
talking
yourself.
I would love to write all the ideas I have. It's never going to eventuate because I'm a second-rate programmer. And we've got somebody to do code reviews. We've got anyone to actually write some code now. Anyway, yeah, does anyone else have anything else to add, or we'll just wrap it up, I don't know, what's this, 7 minutes early? It's lovely.